Now, so far, I've tended rather to deal in generalities. And generalities aren't always very interesting or very helpful. So at this point, let us take up for consideration a concrete example. An example that might be anybody. Let's take the case of a young Englishman who, three quarters of the way through the 20th century in this country, starts trying to practice Buddhism, actually to practice it. And let's call him John. I'm sure there must be at least a dozen Johns present. Apparently it's the most common Christian name. Now John is 24. And he's been interested in Buddhism since he was 12. That's not unusual. And he has read several hundred books on the subject. He has read Evans Wentz. He has read Charles Luke, Govinda, Gunther, Grimm, Glassenapp, Tucci, Trungpa, Kons, Suzuki, Christmas Humphreys, Sangharakshita, not to speak of all the lesser lights. You name a book on Buddhism, and John has read it. So at last, having read all these books over all these years, John gets around to practicing Buddhism. So what does he do? Where does he go? He goes along to a meditation class. And in that meditation class, week by week, he learns a technique of concentration. He learns how to concentrate his mind. And he goes along, say, every week for about a couple of months. And he gets on quite well. He's able to achieve a measure of concentration and to hold it at least for 5 or 10 minutes, sometimes even 15 minutes, without any wandering thoughts arising. But after 2 or 3 months, he starts finding the whole thing rather dull and rather boring. Nothing much seems to be happening. He's just getting into a nice concentrated state. There are no wonderful visions, no revelations, no divine voices speaking to him. So he gets a bit bored, a bit fed up. So luckily for John, he happens to hear just then that a wonderful new meditation teacher has just arrived from the East. So of course he goes straight along to his class instead. Sits at the feet of this wonderful new teacher from the East who's got a wonderful, beautiful, big, long beard and looks absolutely everything that a teacher from the East should look. So the first thing that the teacher tells John is to forget whatever he learned before about meditation. He says, it's all wrong. They've been teaching you wrong. They don't know a thing about it. So, of course, this rather confuses John. It's a bit of a shock to him. But anyway, he starts practicing with that new teacher the new method, the new technique of meditation. And he gets on quite well. In fact, he gets on about as well as before with that previous technique, neither better nor worse. Just about the same. But anyway, he continues. But unfortunately, after 2 months, a rather serious setback occurs. The wonderful new teacher just disappears. I don't mean magically. John goes along to the class one evening. He just isn't there. And people say, well, we think he's gone back to India. Others say he's gone to America. There are different reports. So poor John is left high and dry. He doesn't know what to do. So he joins a Sufi group. He finds the people rather nice, rather pleasant, rather sociable, but he doesn't get anything out of the teaching. In fact, there isn't any teaching because everything's one. So back he goes to Buddhism. Of course, back to reading books about Buddhism. And one day, he happens to read a book about Buddhism and vegetarianism. He thinks, well, that's very interesting. Buddhists aren't supposed to eat meat. I never realized that before. Not supposed to take alcohol either. Hadn't thought of that before. In fact, Buddhists are not supposed to do quite a number of things. This had not struck him before. hadn't realized it, but why we're so preoccupied with the philosophy, you know, nirvana, shunyata, void, madhyamika, one mind, he hadn't thought, it hadn't occurred to him that there might be, you know, quite simple practical things to do, precepts to practice. In other words, John begins to see that there's an ethical side to Buddhism. Formerly, he just hadn't time for anything as elementary as that. But now he starts thinking about it quite seriously, and he actually starts trying to practice the precepts, at least a few of them, rather gingerly. Huh? He gives up meat, stops drinking, stops smoking, and he tries very hard not to tell lies, not even to exaggerate. In fact, John becomes, to be quite honest, a bit puritanical. He starts carrying it a bit too far. But anyway, he's sincere, and as a result of his practice of the precepts, he starts feeling like practicing meditation again. Unfortunately, there are no more wonderful new teachers around, so back he goes to the old class, which is still carrying on. And again, he gets into the regular practice, does quite well, and after some months, he's able to sit for a couple of hours without difficulty. Then, one day, a rather strange thing happens. John arrives rather late for the weekly class. He's rather tired. He works in an office and he's had rather a heavy day. And he's not very pleased, to be honest, about having to go along to the meditation class. He thinks, well, I'm feeling tired and it's all going to be rather a drag, rather a waste of time. But anyway, he goes and he sits. And strange to say, without any warning, after he's been sitting for a few minutes, he finds himself in a quite different mental state, a quite different state of consciousness, and he doesn't know how he got into it. He's hardly aware of his body. Everything seems very bright, very luminous, very buoyant. He feels fresh, there's no trace of tiredness. It's as though some inexhaustible spring was welling up within him. It's as though his whole being is expanding, and he begins to see. He begins to glimpse things that he'd never glimpsed before. With all his reading of books, with all his understanding, and a great wave of bliss descends upon him, and he feels as he had never felt before and never thought to feel before. And how long he remains in this state, this completely different state of consciousness, he just doesn't know. It may be 10 minutes, it may even be half an hour, but whatever it is, the experience has a very profound effect on John. He knows now that there is some higher state of consciousness, of being. It's not just words, it's not just theory anymore, it's not just something that he's read in a book. He knows that this is what Buddhism is all about, or this is the beginning of what Buddhism is all about. He feels, well, some progress at last has been made. And he's so impressed, so elated even, that he starts thinking of becoming a monk, going to the East, leading an ascetic life, and so on. He feels he can even gain enlightenment quite soon. He starts feeling that he's, you know, getting quite near. So he's quite elated, he's quite pleased with himself, and he becomes a bit expansive, a bit more outward going than before. And at this point, Mara starts taking an interest in John. Mara had not bothered before about John. After all, it wasn't necessary, because some of the books that John had been reading did Mara's work for him. Now, there was a girl who used to come along to the meditation class. She'd been coming for several weeks. John hadn't ever spoken to her because he was too shy. But in his present elated, expansive mood, he loses his shyness and he speaks to the girl that week, and he speaks to her the following week. And they become friends. And to cut short a not very long story, John falls violently in love with the girl. But the girl, perverse creature that she is, she doesn't fall in love with him. She's in love with somebody else. So poor John. He can't eat, he can't sleep, and of course he can't meditate. And he forgets all about his wonderful experience. It's as though it had never been. And this is something we all experience from time to time. You can get into a wonderful, exalted state and you really think, well, there's going to be no more trouble after this, no more problems after this. I really know now. I shall never be a fool again. I shall never do anything wrong again. But a few days later, even a few hours later, you're back where you were before, apparently. So it's like that with John. It's as though that experience had never been. He forgets all about Buddhism. He doesn't go to the meditation class anymore because he can't bear to meet the girl. In fact, he feels like committing suicide. But one day, someone invites him to a party. Now, John doesn't go to parties, usually. As I said, he's become a bit puritanical. But he's feeling so miserable that he accepts. He goes to the party and he gets drunk. Bang goes a precept, of course. And he wakes up next morning with a terrible headache. But John is young, youth is resilient, and eventually he gets over his disappointment. And when I last heard of him, he wasn't trying to observe the precepts anymore. He'd given up meditation. But he was very busy reading books on tantric Buddhism and was thinking of taking up the study of Tibetan.